Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Joel Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hello, Larry Sonnenberg here sitting in for Steve today. And I'm blessed to be across the table from Dr. Sherry Keffer.
Hey, Larry.
Hey, Sherry, and Mylon Yurkovich.
Well, back at you.
Yeah.
I'm glad to be across the table from you.
All right.
I don't get tired of you guys. It's been fun. We've been working together here this week, and we've had some great calls. We were just talking about that. We have more to come
today.
More
to come. You know, I was thinking before we got on the air here, God has a real sense of humor. The week where the stock market has been the most tumultuous it's been forever is when we get a $250,000 matching gift, and we're going to the air saying, we need your help. Mm. And it's also election time, and people are giving hordes of money to candidates. But God is saying, I'm bigger than all that, and I'm going to honor this gift. And the way he is going to do that is through you, our listeners. And I've said in a previous program, if you've ever been at a point, I've had many people say to me as they made a gift to New Life, I wish we could give more. This is your chance to give more. Because when you make a gift, it will be doubled. If you give $5, it'll be $10. If you give $50, it'll be $100. If you give $1,000, it'll be $2,000. And so that's through the generosity of a couple in the Midwest who's been friends with New Life for a long time. And kind of out of the blue, not totally, but in a sense, they went from being like $300 a year, $500 a year givers to $250,000. And but they that money, we can't use it until it's matched. So we need you to make a gift and designate that it's matching. You can do it online. You could do it by calling 800-NEW-LIFE. You can do an e-check. If you go online, you could do it through PayPal. There's all kinds of ways to do it. And I just want to say thank you to those folks. And you know who you are. They asked to be anonymous, so I'm not going to give any names. And I want to thank you guys for being givers.
So, Larry, as a president of New Life, why do we raise money? What do we do with the money?
Well, the bottom line, but I think I know what you're getting at. The bottom line is to keep doing this ministry and getting lives changed. But in order to do that, we have to pay for radio time, number one. That's one of our biggest expenses, along with every other expense in running a business or a ministry. But that radio time, it's on the order of $170,000 a month that we pay just for radio time, so you can listen to this program. And I know I used to listen to a radio program before I worked at New Life, a Christian program. And I loved listening to it. I listened to it for years. And once I came to work here, I thought, man, I better give to that radio program. So I've been guilty of being where a lot of you are at. You're longtime listeners, and you have never taken seriously that the ministry needs your support.
I appreciate you saying that.
It's kind of crazy to think about $170,000 a month. Here we get this big gift of $250,000, which could be $500,000, right?
It will be.
That's what we're asking for. But even in that, that keeps us on the air for 3 months. This is a big nut to push across the table every month just to keep us on the air.
That's right. Times 12 is $2,040,000 for us to provide this show to your ears. And that's why we raise money.
It is.
It's not like commercial radio.
Wow.
It's not like commercial radio where the sponsors of the commercials pay for the show for, on This is us paying to be there.
Yeah, and we're there so that we can do this radio program and we can answer these questions from everybody who's on hold right now and all of you listening who get benefit from that.
So the moral of the story, follow God's lead and give.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live, and I want to tell you about our We Dared campaign and urge you to go to WeDared.com and take the challenge to starve your eyes for 30 days. You know, men are bombarded with sexual images every day. It's really hard to avoid. But we all have choices to make and a responsibility to be intentional about what we choose to look at and to think about. We want to help you do that. If you take the challenge at WeDared.com to starve your eyes for 30 days, we'll send you an email each day with encouragement and tips to keep you on track. We'll provide free downloadable Bible studies for men, young men, and even the tween men in preparing your son for every young man's battle. You could even learn how to start an Every Man's Battle group for sexual integrity. It's all there at WeDared.com. I hope you'll take the challenge to 30 days of sexual integrity and sexual purity. For more information, go to WeDared.com and take that challenge. I dare you to do it.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Okay, we're back, and we're going to go right to the phones, and we are going to talk to Yolanda in Katy, Texas, listens on the word, KWRD. Hello, Katy.
Just a second. Hello.
Okay, hello. How can we help you today?
Just 1 second. Let me get situated. I didn't think he was going to call my name first.
What'd you call for then?
It's like being picked on in class. Like, you know, when the teacher asks a question, it's like, oh, no, I didn't know she was going to call on me.
Yeah. Okay. So my question today is, I was married for 14 years. I'm divorced now. It's been about 4 years. The reason for my divorce was that my ex-husband got addicted to drugs, so he still is right now. We did all the counseling in the church, went to rehab, we did a lot of things. I don't think he actually still has accepted the fact that he's addicted to drugs. That's the main issue. And so my question today is that I've always felt kind of guilty for my divorce because I know that God says it should only be adultery. It should only be if your husband walks away. That's the only time he doesn't frown upon a divorce. So in my situation, you know, is it considered as a sin on my part?
Well, I have to say, welcome to the world of sinners. I am one, and I will go first, right? I do look at Scripture, and I had to think about the same thing. In fact, I went to someone, to a theologian, and I'm glad Mylan's here today as our resident theologian in the group. But I actually went to a theologian when I was looking at my situation because I considered the same thing that you were talking about. I really wanted to look at my part and how God feels about it. But where I want to bring you, and then we'll let Mylan kind of bring the truth card in, right? But where I want to go is I do see it as sin. And then the very next question I say is looking at me and all of us here as sinners, and we have to take those sinful things that we do on a daily basis to God to be forgiven. And what would make this any different than any other sin that you have participated in your life? Why have you put this in a bigger, kind of calculated as some kind of a, you know, felony in the kingdom of God?
I guess because it affected, you know, I have two sons. They were totally affected. They're still having a hard time dealing with it. You know, we were married so long. So I guess it's more like it's so detrimental to our lives and other people's lives, in-laws, my mother-in-law, my mom.
Yep.
It was such a big deal.
It is.
Like a huge... And I know that God says all sins are created equal, but this one. And so when I say a sin, I mean like in the same situation, should I have stayed Mary? I guess that's more of the question. Like, it was in that instance, what's the right thing to do? You know, I couldn't figure out what was the, because staying in the marriage was very hard to do.
Well, I think we have to, let's answer this in two phases. One is that you already gave the two things we know from Scripture where God authorizes marriage, or I'm sorry, where he authorizes divorce and remarriage, all right?
Right.
So, and the key word is remarriage. He authorizes it because of a non-believer walking away, and also when someone violates the marriage covenant, he says you're no longer under obligation and you can remarry. So that's thought number one. Thought number two, honestly, Yolanda, if I was married to a drug addict, I would want to separate as well. I'd want to make a scene. I'd want to make a statement. I would want to pull myself away from the addiction. And sometimes if people won't listen to you, you have to do things that are very severe to get their attention. And it shocks the whole family tree. But what you did is you said, I'm not going to do this anymore, everybody. I'm the one that's having to suffer here, and we have to make statements. And so then the question comes, well, you know, do I create a separation as a boundary? And I know there are a lot of us even on this radio team that believe that, you know, a legal separation is a boundary that says to somebody who is way off base, this is not satisfactory, you're not paying attention, and I must do something to get your attention, as well as to protect myself, as well as my assets of money, et cetera, et cetera. The question is, you know, what about the divorce card? And I don't know if a lot of people have really thought about that, but I think the spirit of what you were trying to do is say, I can't do this anymore. I really believe that is the heart of God. So we're not supposed to just hang out and feel trapped in situations where we're being abused and hurt and our children are being abused and hurt.
We actually separated for 2 years.
Okay.
I tried to get him to just get it together.
Well, I'm not talking about... Hold on one second. Yolanda, I'm not talking about a physical separation. We separated and lived in separate houses. I'm talking about a legal separation, which is almost identical to a divorce. The difference is I'm not saying I'm not giving up on the marriage. I'm saying I'm putting a big fat suspension in the marriage until you get your act together and prove to me that this is what you want. You could do that in the marriage or with the divorce, you know. Do you still love this guy? That's probably my biggest question.
Not anymore.
Okay.
I actually don't. I struggle with it within myself, and then I look at the boys and I wonder, like, did I make a mistake and hurt my kids? And,
well, you know. There's a really good book I want you to pick up. It's by Leslie Vernick, called The Emotionally Destructive Marriage. She actually did a show with Steve and I on TV.NewLife. And I love her book because the truth of it is God says in Scripture he hates divorce. But he hates more when there is abuse that's going on or things that are out of control. God hates feet that run towards evil. I mean, God hates a lot of things that are bad for us. And sometimes we elevate this choice to divorce above the person. Hmm. And so I think there's grace for you in what you did. There's validation. You're looking at your husband, ex-husband now staying. He's still using. He's still an addict. So even if you had just legally separated, you'd still be in suspension. But we have... I think letting yourself off the hook at some point for the decision you made and closing the door on your wondering, not being afraid to go in there and wrestle with that. I had to wrestle with it too, but wrestle with it with the intent to come out the other side. Get some freedom for yourself so that you're not held hostage. You've been 4 years wondering if you made the wrong decision. That's a long time to wander in guilt and shame and pain. And I don't believe that's why a Savior came. A Savior came to set you free. Yes, does God hate divorce? He does, because of the carnage that you've just told us about. There's a lot of painful things that happen. I have painful carnage in my past. I have things that are unfixable because of my divorce, things that I can never get again. But I am now a woman walking free because I have a Redeemer. My Redeemer lives in me.
So as, what about the, my two sons? They're, one is 19, one is 22. And they still have a hard time, even after 4 years. It's actually been like 6 in total because we separated for a long while before we actually got the divorce. But he hasn't been in the house with them for a while. But they still struggle with dealing with their dad not being there. So sometimes I just want to tell them to let it go.
No, they're going to struggle.
Not coming around, but I know that's not the right thing.
Yolanda, they're going to struggle whether you were married or not. You know, they're struggling with a dad with an addiction. And when people have an addiction, they only think about one thing. They think about the addiction. So your sons are having a difficult time at 19 and 20 or 20 and 21, whatever you said, that they are having a hard time as to saying, what will my relationship be with dad? And
they feel abandoned.
I would have
because
to say,
of the alcohol.
I would have to say, Yolanda, let it go is not the correct answer. You have to say, we need to grieve this. We need to acknowledge you didn't have a dad. I didn't have a husband. We all lost. And how could we possibly win him back? How could we possibly help? How could we possibly help pull him back into the land of the living? And to, instead of feeling guilty that the boys are struggling, it's not because you divorce them, it's because their dad hasn't been available.
You all may want to go to an adult child of an alcoholic support group. It might feel really good for you guys to sit with a group of people that totally get the pain you're talking about and to be able to talk freely about the hurt, about the anger, about the sadness.
I think that's a good idea. I think we do need some counseling. We haven't done any.
Yes, yes, yes.
This whole thing has happened,
Well, you know, so what I'm hearing then again that Yolanda's doing is any pain that the kids seem to show, she's filtering it all through, I shouldn't have gotten a divorce.
Yeah.
And that's the wrong lens to put it through. We need to have a different lenses through which we say, okay, I don't blame you for feeling pain, boys.
Yeah, I feel pain too.
Yeah.
Expect pain.
Expect
it's part of the carnage.
That's absolutely right.
Of the divorce.
That's why I love this program and listening to you guys.
Yeah.
I tell you, you help put the lenses on.
Mm-hmm.
So, Yolanda, we're going to give you a month to tv.newlife.com, and you can see that program with Leslie Vernick and Steve and Sherry that she was talking about. So thank you so much. Let's, there was a call there. I wanted to go to Becky in line 3, and she's in Alabama and watches us on the NRB network. Hello, Becky.
Hello.
What's going on?
Well, my daughter, okay, we found out she was pregnant. Let me start from the beginning, okay? I asked if she was pregnant, and she told me no, and then like 2 weeks later, she went for a job interview, and they asked her, and she told them she didn't know, so they made her go to find out. Okay.
How old is she, and does she live at home?
No, she's 28, but she has her own house and her own family.
All right.
Okay. But, okay, she barely can take care of the older two. Okay, so I wasn't meaning it the way she took it. I asked her what she was going to do with it, whether she was going to keep it or not. You know, I only did that from a financial standpoint with my daughter, you know, because I know she can barely take care of the two that she's got. You know what I mean? And I didn't mean for her to have an abortion or, you know, get an adopted out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We would have found someone in the family to take it. But the way my daughter took it as, I guess she took it as I didn't want anything to do with my grandchildren. Because see, she has an 8-year-old grandson and a 5-year-old granddaughter, along with a new one that was just born in July. It was born a day after my birthday. Okay?
So tell us what your question is. I think we get the picture.
I'm just wondering what I could do about it. I mean, I just got saved again. So should I just leave it in God's hands and let him work it out to where I'll be able to see my grandkids again?
Well, it sounds kind of passive on the heels of some hurt. And so I wouldn't just only put it in God's hands. I would definitely include God in this process. But your daughter just got hurt by something that mm-hmm. you said. And I kind of tried to put myself in her shoes when you were talking. Is she married or not?
She's married.
Okay. So she's got a husband. But I hear a lot of anxiety that you have about how she and her husband are tending to their kids. And it feels like the anxiety is so great, so big, that you feel somehow like you need to help her make a decision instead of celebrating with her and then helping to ask some questions about how they're going to add another mouth to their family.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and I'm really excited that our ministry trip this year is going to Ireland. We're calling it the Irish Connection, and it's New Life's 2015 spiritual adventure, and I sure hope you're going to join us.
It looks like an amazing trip, the wonderful combination of breathtaking scenery, particularly along the drive of the Wild Atlantic Way. You're traveling through at least three of the national parks in Ireland, Clare and Killarney and Stenagh and Wicklow, which is considered the Garden of Ireland. Picturesque, dramatic scenes, some of the castles, just really mystical and magical places. So as well as the beautiful scenery in Ireland, you will get an opportunity to listen and sit with Mylon, Dave and Steve for the evening talks. You are in for some good fun and good stories.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and be part of the Irish Connection. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live, and I can't tell you how excited we are about New Life Television. It's an internet television channel at tv.newlife.com. Check it out. You'll see that there's exclusive content, content that we really don't have time to get into here on our radio program. We go down deep and we try to provide you the foundations of the stuff that we know and the stuff that we like to share with you. There's a day on biblical integration, in the news, life recovery, and it's only $9.95 a month, and that supports this ministry. It's an in-depth attempt to connect with you deeper and provide you with a stronger foundation of biblical wisdom from God's Word. Check it out, tv.newlife.com. tv.newlife.com.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. We are talking to Becky on line three.
And hey, Becky, this is Sherry. I'm going to jump back in again. So, one, I'm hearing a lot of anxiety. And the other thing, I think how you phrased it is really interesting to me. It makes me really curious about you and your heart. One, because of the burden you feel for them, and I don't know if you have observed them do some reckless things in their fam, and so that would make a parent highly nervous and anxious, right? Mm-hmm. But when I pretended I was your daughter as I was listening to you, and I'm so proud of you for being honest with us and just kind of laying it out there like you laid it out with her. But if I was your daughter and I heard, you know, is she going to keep it or not? Just the word "it" felt painful to me.
At the time, we didn't know whether it was a male or female.
Yeah. Well, I get that, but it feels like an object word.
Not
it's not a person. It's not like, are you going to keep the baby? Or, you know, how do you feel about getting pregnant for the fourth time? You know, I would probably, I want to point that out for you. This is her number four, right? She just had another.
No, this is the third one.
Okay. And I'm trying to be so gentle with you and so loving and yet so, again, direct, because I want to help bring you the truth and love.
Right.
But I think the way you phrased it, I could see why that would have offended her or caused you harm and why she might feel like holding the other kids back. Because if you see this isn't it, you know, you might see my other kids isn't it, you know, and that might hurt. She would have felt offended.
Mm-hmm.
And so you coming back and saying, honey, I am so sorry. I used words that were so unloving in light of a new baby coming. And when I said it, I don't know if you felt hurt by that or not, but that was the worst choice of words I could have possibly used. And I don't know if you can forgive me for that or retract that from, you know, I just apologize. I can't fix it. I can only tell you I'm sorry. I didn't ask you about the baby. And I want to bring to you my anxiety. I don't really have the right to make choices about whether you have a baby or not. And I think it's my fear that caused me to bring that question to you in the first place. So how I brought you that question, it was really a painful way to do it. But I'm trying to sit with my own nervousness about providing for a third mouth and just wondering how you're going to do that. You see how real that is? You're owning what you did instead of saying, well, I'm just going to let God deal with it and hope for the best, which is passive.
Right. Well, she won't even take my calls now. So, you know. And there's been, like, ever since she's got married with the guy she's married to, he has a problem with me because I'm a straightforward, tell you like it is, whether you like it or not kind of person.
I get it. You did it, and it didn't work so well, right?
He doesn't like that.
Well, and I can see why. You may think that bringing the truth, this is the deal. If I didn't bring you in the truth and love this morning and just tell you straight, I told you straight truth, but I did it in a loving way. Sometimes if we just bring truth to people, we hurt people, and they don't want to be around us because it's not couched in love. Our agenda is more important than how it comes across.
So you have a choice, Becky, because now there's two people here that are telling you the same thing. And maybe you need to look at it as though they're holding up a mirror and saying, Becky's too harsh. You see, there can be a felt sense of nobility that I'm a straight shooter. I say it as I see it. And you could even applaud yourself for that or think, you know, this is a good thing. But in their opinion, it's too much. And maybe you need to balance a little bit better. And maybe you need to come to both of them and say, you know what? I've gotten myself into trouble multiple times before. And I'm going to guess, Becky, they're not the only ones that have had this view about you.
Is there a book that comes to mind that would address that kind of a, maybe how to have that difficult conversation or?
Well, I think the first thing that we have to stop and do is ask, because another way to say this is I have extreme thinking.
Yeah.
See, which means if I see something, I'm going to say it. And I usually tend to say things in extreme ways. So that means because I see it in extreme ways. One of the books.
Or I struggle with my filter, right? I struggle with filtering
and
it.
And then I have no
love.
Filter because I see things so extremely.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I love in Henry's book, Changes that Heal, the section on integrating good and bad in all people, in ourselves, and that everything's just not all right and wrong or good or bad or righteous or evil, that there's this blend that we have to see. And if people don't feel that blend from us, they're going to feel like we're too harsh, and then they're going to push us away. So maybe Becky can pay attention to this. So that book and that section could be very helpful in my mind.
That's
great.
What's coming your way, Becky. Changes that Heal.
Thank you for calling and inviting us. It's a great question, and thanks for your bravery.
Every Man's Battle is coming up September 11th to 13th in Dallas, Texas. And Chris, who recently went, said this on his departure. I was skeptical of this workshop when I first came. I fell under the camp of my wife made me go. I'm so very glad that I did. The fellowship with other men having the same struggles was unbelievable. Understanding the brain and the chemistry of what this does was powerful. Understanding tools and decision-making points so powerful. Talking and confessing with other men was so powerful. This could be a turning point for my relationship with my wife and my God. That's why you need to go, guys.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I'm Larry Sonnenberg here with Dr. Sherry Keffer and Mylon Yurkovich. We're going to go back to the phones in just a minute. Just wanted to remind folks that we do have this matching gift opportunity. If you ever said that you wish you could give more, here's your chance. You could double your gift by making a gift right now because we had a very generous donor give us a big amount, $250,000, but we can't use it until we get your matching gift. So thank you for that. Mylon and Kay are going to be in Denton, Texas for a How We Love Relationship workshop at Singing Oaks Church of Christ, September 18th, Friday night, 7 to 9 p.m., and then again continuing Saturday morning, the 19th, at 8:30 to 12:30. It's $25 a person, and if there's anybody that can teach you anything about relationships, it's Mylon and Kay.
Thanks, Larry. It's a real privilege to be invited to churches around the United States and sometimes internationally to talk on this subject. So we're always excited to be in Texas with a lot of great people with great hearts down there.
Women of Faith. Steve was the founder of that. They're having their farewell tour. He's going to be at each of these to say a few words. He'll be in Lincoln, Nebraska, August 28th, Anaheim, September 11th, Orlando, September the 18th. Hoffman States, Illinois, the 25th, Dallas, October 2nd, Charlotte, October 9th. If you go to womenoffaith.com, $20 discount if you enter the code SA20. And it's their farewell tour with all the speakers who've been doing this for years, kind of making their final tour. So you won't want to miss that. Let's go back to the phones. And there was a call I saw that I wanted, and I should have made a better note. Here it is. Line 7, we're going to go to Elizabeth, Washington, D.C., a WAVA listener. We haven't had many of those today. Hello. How you doing, Elizabeth?
Hi.
How can we help you?
Okay. I have a question about a family situation. I would say that I fill a scapegoat role in my family, and I don't want to avoid them or cut off relationships, but when I think about being close with them, I feel a lot of fear and anger. And so I'm wondering if you can give me some advice or insight as to how I can relate with them or set good boundaries or anything like that.
What do you mean scapegoat? Why do you...
Give an example.
Give us an example of that.
Okay, in a recent conflict, a disagreement I had with my sister.
How old are you, Elizabeth, before we go on?
I'm 32.
Okay.
I said something that I wasn't... I'm not quite sure why it got blown out of proportion, but I was telling my sister something that she did that hurt my feelings, and she immediately got really mad at me, and my mom and my other sister joined in and said, "Anna, you know, why are you, you know, causing all these problems? Like, you need to apologize to your sister." And this has happened before. When there's arguments or disagreements, I'll feel hurt in some way, but I don't feel like the thing that hurt me gets recognized or understood. And they'll say to me, you know, "You're causing the problem. You are, you need to apologize," but there's no, I don't feel like I get any kind of validation or recognition that my feelings get hurt. And it's hard to stand up against, because sometimes it can feel like a group of people kind of band together, like you're the bad one.
Well, that's exactly what's going on. So it's no wonder you feel like that. It is a group of people. It's actually called an enmeshed family system. It's enmeshment, which means in an enmeshed family, there's someone. Mylan and I did a show on this, and I want you to watch it. It's called How to Have an Adult Voice. But we were talking about how anxiety, somebody has a lot of anxiety and a lot of control in the family. And that person, basically, it's almost like some kind of a tornado or hurricane. It kind of sucks everyone into the vortex. Like, everybody's got to behave a certain way. There's these unsaid rules. And I hear some rules in your home that it's not okay to have a feeling. It's not okay to have an opinion. It's not okay to be hurt and actually just bring it to somebody and say, "Ouch, I got hurt by that." When you do that, people gang up on you, and all of a sudden you feel scapegoated or like you're the bad one, because that whole system is trying to move you into conformity. Do it our way or you're going to be cut out. It's a very manipulative and coercive kind of family system. Now, I don't want to necessarily make them all wrong or bad. What I'm trying to do is just validate you, but I really want you to figure out how to hold on to yourself at the same time learning how to navigate relationship with them. Because holding on to your opinions, holding on to your hurt, and bringing that to some, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with you doing that.
But Elizabeth, I'd also have to ask, on the other side of that coin, do you think you're the one that's always complaining in the family? You're the one that's always protesting? You're the one that's always bringing up stuff?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, yeah. So then the question has to be asked, and then I'd ask you another question. Do you feel as though others are ganging up on you outside your home, that other people don't get you, that other people are hurting you?
No, I don't feel that way.
So it's the only place where this is happening is in the home. Is that correct?
Yeah.
You don't see it in any other relationships?
Yeah. You know, the thing is that I've internalized a lot of it, and my response tends to be anger. You know, I hear some people on your show say they kind of feel pummeled or they'll shut down. For me, it's always made me angry.
Okay, so do you get angry... Do you get angry with other people besides your family, like where you work or in other relationships? Do you find yourself getting hurt and angry elsewhere as well?
I would say that anger kind of can be the thing that I'll struggle with. That can be a knee-jerk reaction, but do I get out of control, or does it happen frequently? I don't think so.
No, I didn't say out of control, and I didn't say necessarily frequently. I was just asking if this is something that also happens to you outside your family, because Sherry has a great point that sometimes families can they coalesce and they connect and they make one person, as you already said, the scapegoat. But often that is the angry person that they gang up against. And yet sometimes angry people have good things to be angry about. But then sometimes people are angry because they're sensitive and perhaps overly sensitive at times, and everything hurts them. And that's all I'm trying to bring up is there something on your part where there is a sensitivity that you have and where a lot of things hurt you? And I don't know the question, but it would have to be asked if we want to try to understand your question, because it's your perception you're the scapegoat. And so that's why I'm trying to say, you know, what is your filter? How do you see the world? And then how do you relate to the world around you? But I think what I would do is I'd have a talk with my family and I'd say, well, how, and I'm picking up where Sherry was saying, how do I tell them that something hurts? And if I can hold the anger piece down, and if I can just say, you know, a statement like that hurts me because I'm sensitive, then Sherry's right. It needs to be something they would listen to. If you want to have a relationship with me, I need you to also hear that. But I'm just trying to get you to ask the question, so how sensitive am I and how do I react? And I may be putting them off by my reactivity.
Oh, yeah, that's also part of it. I can respond not in the best way.
Okay.
Feel like some kind of shame, or I feel some kind of guilt trip, or I feel some kind of like manipulation.
Okay.
I'm afraid that I can react sometimes in such a strong way that I create more of a problem, or if there wasn't a problem before, then I actually make one.
Okay. So now, boy, what a great insight on your part. So we're going to go to a break. We'll be right back and hang on the line, Elizabeth.
I was working at a Christian school for 19 years, and somebody saw something on my computer. It was a battle that I'd had all my life.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I believed that I could do it on my own. I just believed that if I tried hard enough and pulled myself up hard enough by my bootstraps, I could do it. I had to get help.
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
I heard about Every Man's Battle. I'd read the book, but I decided I'm going to look up that 800 number, and I called. I said, if I can get on a plane, can I come? That afternoon, I was on an airplane.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Hearing that I needed to be in community was very helpful, but probably the single most helpful thing was to realize that I wasn't the weirdest guy on the planet, and it was just life-changing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and I'm really excited that our ministry trip this year is going to Ireland. We're calling it the Irish Connection, and it's New Life's 2015 spiritual adventure, and I sure hope you're going to join us.
There's a lot of cathedrals you're going to visit along the way with such an amazing history of Christianity here in Ireland. We're called the Land of Saints and Scholars. The scenery is amazing. the history, whether you're in the castles and the west coast of Ireland, and then when you come up to Dublin, the contrast between the countryside and then the capital city, which is quite a cosmopolitan European city now with some amazing architecture. You're going to be spoiled for choice with the museums, whether it's the Book of Kells in Trinity College or Chester Beatty Library. Some of the oldest manuscripts in the world are housed there.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and be part of the Irish Connection.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are talking with Elizabeth and Sherry, going to wrap this up?
Well, Mile and I were talking. You know, sometimes when I'm working with folks like Elizabeth, I'll actually do a genogram and I'll put them on that family system. And the scapegoat I draw like as a target. I actually draw it on my board as a target. A lot of times folks that are in that position have grown up with feeling very hurt. They've not been seen. They've not been heard. There could be some abuse that happened to them in that family system. And so their reactivity that you're talking about, Mylan, comes out of unprocessed pain and hurt, where mm-hmm. they've not been seen or justified.
Right. They've been labeled.
They've been labeled without any vindication. And so the place I would have you go as Elizabeth is I would actually hope that this drives you into your own personal work, because every scapegoat that I've worked with so far has a world of hurt, pain, and fear underneath that target. And I've got to get to that to help them offload that so they can even learn how to better bring questions that are less volatilely brought. The pain is what makes it volatile. So getting into that pain is a requirement for your healing.
So there's this beautiful verse in the Bible that says, let your speech be as it were seasoned with salt and may give grace to those who hear. And, you know, so our speech is and speak the truth in love. Those are two verses. Yeah. And those of us that are highly reactive, who, you know, where we have this knee-jerk reaction, I'm using Elizabeth's words, and I'm angry, and I sometimes make the scene bigger than it maybe needs to be. When I'm doing that, that reactivity then inflames the fire and turns people further against me, so it's a darn catch 22.
And
I'm the scapegoat, but I've also been a part of putting that target on me. And so finding that out, asking the question, what's the genesis of this? And of course, it's all of them together.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a lot of unresolved hurt.
There's wounds and triggers.
Absolutely.
And they don't know how to not speak with salt. It's like I could hear someone say, yeah, they take salt and they throw it like rock salt on somebody else.
And so
it's like, how do I do that, Mylan? I don't even know how to do that because I'm just acting out of my wound. But you got to get into that wound and get the healing.
Well, yeah. Absolutely.
Elizabeth, we're going to give you a month subscription to New Life TV, tv.newlife.com, and you can look at that video that Sherry was talking about, how to have an adult voice.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be really helpful. And we're going to go to our final call today. We're going to go to Tasha on line 5. She's in Dallas, Texas, listens on KWRD. And Tasha, we don't have a lot of time, but we want to take your call. So what can we do for you?
Yes. I can you hear me?
We can.
Okay. I have a clarification that I need. I had been to Women in the Battle with Sherry.
Good.
Hello, Sherry.
Hey, Tasha. Yep, I do.
Anyway, in Dallas this last April, and my husband actually attended every men's battle in Indianapolis back in July. So I am very much a part of this battle as a warrior, Sherry. and was given a tape, a videotape from obviously in very different various support groups. And one of the ladies in one of my groups handed me a tape and said, I want you to watch this. They quote something from every man's battle that is very damaging. And he quotes something that was said in the book, Every Man's Battle. And I just viewed it, and this guy I don't know if I should give names, but it's basically titled Protecting Eve. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, but he goes on to speak in the book. He quotes, and I have the book in front of me, and I've read the whole chapter, and I've read various parts of
the book. Okay, we need you to go quick here.
Okay. Page 120 talks about, you know, in 119, talks about part of the woman. So this is basically for me. And it speaks of different prayers. And on page 120, the second paragraph down, along with prayer, there are other ways you can help him with his battle. Once he tells you he's going cold turkey, be like a merciful vial of methadone for him. Increase your availability to him sexually, though this may be difficult for you since your husband may have told you some things that are repulsive. You. Since your sex drive as a woman is tied to relationship, you feel betrayed just as if your husband had an actual affair. That's extremely damaging, not only to me, but to my husband and to other women and men that fight this battle. It requires that I shut my heart off, that I play off of struggles, you know, that play off his struggles.
Okay, let me speak to that for a minute. Because we're really short on time. We don't agree with that. It's not what they'd be taught at Every Man's Battle either at the workshop. There's been a lot learned since this book was written. This book was written, there have been a couple of spots where it was written a little too much with a focus solely on the man and not on the woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish that could be changed. I'm not sure what else to say about that, but... And maybe at a rewrite, we can get a few of these things changed.
I'm sure Steve will. And this is the deal, Tasha, is Larry's right. In the last three or four years, there have been insurmountable changes in the way that we view partners, wives. And so a statement like this could be very traumatizing to a woman who...
I could hear the tears as she read it.
I know.
Yeah.
The infidelity and whatever it is, whether it's porn, affairs, prostitutes, that lack of safety. A woman needs to feel safe to open herself up again. And I just want to validate you and validate the other women that at Women in the Battle, we talk about that. We talk about mm-hmm. the trauma that happens. Anything you're watching that Steve and I have done, Steve is very much now a believer in the traumatization of women with the sexual addiction. And so I guess I'm asking for a little bit of grace in light of where things are moving, because we've changed.
And
we are changing the message. And
I'd just like to say I'm sorry, Tasha, for the pain that caused you.
Yeah, huge.
Thank you. Thank you.
And others.
And I just want other women to hear it. So that's why I wanted to be on the radio, so that you can hear this message and I can be a soldier to go forth and go.
You
exactly
bet.
What you said. This was written a long time ago. They changed their team. Because I was at Women in the Battle. I know what Every Man's Battle is about. And I'm like, this is so contrary to what they preach to me.
It doesn't make sense. And it's harmful. I've heard this come from pastors. Mm-hmm. I sit with women that pastors say you just need to have more sex. Friends, therapists mm-hmm. even uh-huh. say you need to have more sex. Uh-huh. But that's not the answer.
Right.
You got to have safety and sobriety in order to
Absolutely.
Open yourself up again.
We want to talk. We talk Absolutely. More about intimacy and letting the sex flow out of intimacy and even having a period Absolutely. Of celibacy for a time being.
Yep, until safety's been restored.
Yeah.
So thank you, Tasha, for being brave.
Yeah, thank you so much. You know what, Tasha? I want to give you a year to New Life TV just for being brave and coming on.
That was
and saying
big.
That we really appreciate
that. I bet
that.
You there's a lot of women that are grateful she brought that forward today.
Yeah. Well, thank you. We need your help financially. I feel like a broken record, but I'm going to be broken for a while because we have $250,000 at our disposal. Once you match it, it's like a stack of bills sitting on the table, and until the other stack comes in to match it, we're a little bit unable to deal with taking that money. So make a gift, we'll double it, and it will be a good thing for keeping this program on the air. I want to close with a scripture verse in Ephesians. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, and high and deep is the love of Christ. That's why we are here.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.